Welcome to the Wednesday Gathering, a live Christian Science teleconference prayer and gratitude meeting hosted by prayerfulliving.com and open to all. We're delighted that you have joined us as a participant in this spiritual oasis. For those with a computer, our web address is prayerfulgathering.com. Now let's begin this Wednesday Gathering with singing hymn number 291. Again, welcome to this healing meeting at prayerfulgathering.com. The topic of today's healing message is Let Go of Personal Ego and Be Guided by Principle, God. The hymns are 291, 195, and 96. I shall be reading from the New English Bible, as well as correlative passages from Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science. I shall begin with the Bible. Psalms. The Lord is good and upright. He guides the humble man in doing right. He teaches the humble his ways. 1 Kings. Jezebel then sent a message to Elijah to say, The gods do the same to me and more, unless by this time tomorrow I have taken your life as you took theirs. He was afraid and fled for his life. He came upon a broom bush and sat down under it and prayed for death. It is enough, he said. Now, Lord, take my life, for I am no better than my fathers before me. He lay down under the bush, and while he slept, an angel touched him and said, Rise and eat. He rose and ate and drank, and sustained by this food, he went on for 40 days and 40 nights to Horeb, the Mount of God. He entered a cave, and there he spent the night. Suddenly the word of the Lord came to him. Why are you here, Elijah? Because of my great zeal for the Lord, the God of hosts, he said. The people of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, torn down thine altars, and put thy prophets to death with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. The answer came, Go and stand on the mount before the Lord. For the Lord was passing by. A great and strong wind came rending mountains and shattering rocks before him. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind there was an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a low, murmuring sound. When Elijah heard it, he muffled his face in his cloak and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. Then there came a voice. Why are you here, Elijah? Because of my great zeal for the Lord, the God of hosts, he said. The people of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, torn down thine altars, and put thy prophets to death with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. The Lord said to him, Go back by way of the wilderness of Damascus, enter the city, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, to be prophet in your place. Elijah departed and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing. As Elijah passed, he threw his cloak over him. And Elisha, leaving his oxen, ran after Elijah and said, "Let me kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will follow you." "Go back," he replied. "What have I done to prevent you?" He followed him no further, but went home, took his pair of oxen, slaughtered them, and burnt the wooden gear to cook the flesh, which he gave to the people to eat. Then he followed Elijah and became his disciple. Psalms. Thou art to me both rock and stronghold. Lead me and guide me for the honor of thy name. Exodus. When the king of Egypt was told that the Israelites had slipped away, he and his courtiers changed their minds completely and said, "What have we done? We've let our Israelite slaves go free." The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's chariots and horses, cavalry and infantry, pursued them and overtook them in camp beside the sea. Pharaoh was almost upon them when the Israelites looked up and saw the Egyptians close behind. In their terror, they clamored to the Lord for help and said to Moses, "Were there no graves in Egypt that you should have brought us here to die in the wilderness? See what you have done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Is not this just what we meant when we said in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us be slaves to the Egyptians'? We would rather be slaves to the Egyptians than die here in the wilderness." "Have no fear," Moses answered. "Stand firm and see the deliverance that the Lord will bring you this day. For as sure as you see the Egyptians now, you will never see them again. The Lord will fight for you. So hold your peace." The angel of God who had kept in front of the Israelites moved away to the rear. The pillar of cloud moved from the front and took its place behind them, and so came between the Egyptians and the Israelites. And the cloud brought on darkness and early nightfall, so that contact was lost throughout the night. Then Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord drove the sea away all night with a strong east wind and turned the seabed into the dry land. The waters were torn apart, and the Israelites went through the sea on the dry ground, while the waters made a wall for them to the right and to the left. That day, the Lord saved Israel from the power of Egypt. Psalms. Hear this, all you nations. Listen, all who inhabit this world, all mankind, every living man, rich and poor alike. For the words that I speak are wise, my thoughtful heart is full of understanding. Such is God, our God forever and ever. He shall be our guide eternally. John. Later on, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now, at the sheep pool in Jerusalem, there is a place with five colonnades. Its name in the language of the Jews is Bethesda. In these colonnades, there are lay a crowd of sick people, blind, lame, and paralyzed. Among them was a man who had been crippled there 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and was aware that he had been ill a long time, he asked him, "Do you want to recover?" "Sir," he replied, "I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is disturbed. But while I am moving, someone else is in the pool before me." Jesus answered, "Rise to your feet, take up your bed, and walk." The man recovered instantly, took up his stretcher, and began to walk. That day was a Sabbath. It was works of this kind done on the Sabbath that stirred the Jews to persecute Jesus. He defended himself by saying, "My Father has never yet ceased his work, and I am working too. In truth, in very truth, I tell you, the Son can do nothing by himself. He does only what he sees the Father doing. What the Father does, the Son does. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all his works, and will show greater yet, to fill you with wonder. In very truth, anyone who gives heed to what I say and puts his trust in him who sent me has hold of eternal life. I cannot act by myself. I judge as I am bidden, and my sentence is just, because my aim is not my own will, but the will of him who sent me. Isaiah. If you call, the Lord will answer. If you cry to him, he will say, "Here I am." The Lord will be your guide continually and will satisfy your needs in the shimmering heat. He will give you strength of limb. You will be like a well-watered garden, like a spring whose waters never fail. I shall now read correlative passages from Science and Health with Keys of the Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. I have set forth Christian Science and its application to the treatment of disease just as I have discovered them. I have demonstrated through mind the effects of truth on the health, longevity, and morals of men. And I have found nothing in ancient or in modern systems on which to found my own, except the teachings and demonstrations of our great master and the lives of prophets and apostles. The Bible has been my only authority. I have had no other guide in the straight and narrow way of truth. As the children of Israel were guided triumphantly through the Red Sea, the dark, ebbing, and flowing tides of human fear, as they were led through the wilderness, walking wearily through the great desert of human hopes and anticipating the promised joy, so shall the spiritual idea guide all right desires in their passage from sense to soul, from a material sense of existence to the spiritual, up to the glory prepared for them who love God. Stately science pauses not, but moves before them, a pillar of cloud by day and of fire by night, leading to divine heights. The first demand of this science is, thou shalt have no other gods before me. This me is spirit. Therefore, the command means this: thou shalt have no intelligence, no life, no substance, no truth, no love, but that which is spiritual. Having no other gods, turning to no other but the one perfect mind to guide him, man is the likeness of God, pure and eternal, having that mind which was also in Christ. Students are advised by the author to be charitable and kind, not only towards differing forms of religion and medicine, but to those who hold these differing opinions. Let us be faithful in pointing the way through Christ as we understand it, but let us also be careful always to judge righteous judgment and never to condemn rashly. Whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. That is, fear not that he will smite thee again for thy forbearance. If ecclesiastical sects or medical schools turn a deaf ear to the teachings of Christian Science, then part from these opponents, as did Abraham when he parted from Lot, and say in thine heart, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen. For we be brethren. Immortals, or God's children in divine science, are one harmonious family. Keep distinctly in thought that man is the offspring of God, not of man. That man is spiritual, not material. That soul is spirit, outside of matter, never in it, never giving the body life and sensation. It breaks the dream of disease to understand that sickness is formed by the human mind, not by matter, nor by the divine mind. The discoverer of Christian Science finds the path less difficult when she has the high goal always before her thoughts than when she counts her footsteps in endeavoring to reach it. When the destination is desirable, expectation speeds our progress. The struggle for truth makes one strong instead of weak, resting instead of wearying one. We must begin, however, with the more simple demonstrations of control, and the sooner we begin, the better. The final demonstration takes time for its accomplishment. When walking, we are guided by the eye. We look before our feet, and if we are wise, we look beyond a single step in the line of spiritual advancement. The great spiritual fact must be brought out that man is, not shall be, perfect and immortal. We must hold forever the consciousness of existence, and sooner or later, through Christ and Christian Science, we must master sin and death. The evidence of man's immortality will become more apparent as material beliefs are given up and the immortal facts of being are admitted. Spirit God gathers unformed thoughts into their proper channels and unfolds these thoughts even as he opens the petals of a holy purpose in order that the purpose may appear. Thus the dawn of ideas goes on, forming each successive stage of progress. This concludes the healing message and the publicly recorded portion of the meeting.